the text for our message today is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. May the Lord add his blessings to his holy word. The title of my message today is Recipe for Success and Prosperity in the New Year. This presupposes the failures in our many endeavors and how we may find the answer. I know of a couple, in their wisdom, and we agree with them to buy SIA shares. Very good blue chips. How did they know that, of all things, what he chose to do turned out to be a great loss the next day, because the outgoing SIA flight got into the wrong lane and crashed over 80 passengers were killed, and right away the value of the shares dropped heavily. The question is, did they, out of their own wisdom, choose to do this? Or had they first asked the Lord whether it was good or not? Here we learn the lesson. We can never say whether a thing will be good or bad, even in a day's time. What seemed to be good turned out to be bad. How then should we find this recipe for success and prosperity in the new year? The first thing is to find out whether we are, in so doing, seeking the directive will of God. I have written an article on the sevenfold will of God. And the first one is the directive. It's very easy. When someone tells us, you do this, and someone has authority, and it is God telling us. Christians are known to be very willing, yes, let me know the will of God and I will do my best. A good example is the case of Abraham instructing his servant, go back to my home country, Mesopotamia, and there find a girl of my family, my brother's family, for wife to my son Isaac. And don't touch any local girls of the Canaanites, because they are idol worshippers. The servant swore, even to God, to obey Abraham, his master's will. And he went. And when he saw the first girl in Mesopotamia, he prayed a very unusual prayer. God, if you favor me, let this girl be the one intended for Isaac. And the signs are that she will give me water to drink and also water my camels. And wonderfully, the Lord heard his prayer, and she gave water to Abraham to drink, being a stranger, and not only giving him the water to drink, but he said, let me also water your camels. And then, when he asked the girl, who are you? And she said, I'm Rebecca. And she is from Abraham's family. Exactly. And she was willing to go with her servant immediately the next day to a new country. When we follow the directive will of God, God will bless us and help us to good success. So this is his testimony. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Genesis 24, verse 27. It's just like a car. If it's not moving, you cannot go anywhere, but when it moves and you obey, I being in the way, the Lord leads me to the right place. This is the way to success. By his directive will. And when you obey, God will bless us with his cooperative will. He will work it out to success. But this is what Proverbs has said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Directive, word of God. How wonderful it is in important things and in small things, in everything, we want to do the directive will of God. And in this case, the servant of Abraham wanted to fulfill his master's wish, is to get a Christian girl for his son. Well, in those days, Christ had not come, but they would be amounting to being Christians. And so it is a very important thing for parents today. Don't say nowadays it's a modern world, it's up to them. Suka, suka, alright, that's alright. But it is really a great loss. We must pray God will bless our children, our grandchildren, You never ask, so you don't get it. But since you ask, God will give. Please give to my son a good daughter-in-law, one who loves the Lord. And this is for sure. You can never marry outside your faith. A Christian must marry a Christian. A Christian cannot marry a Seventh-day Adventist because she will go one way and your son will go one way. And they say, well, the best way is to go two ways, both. You attend even half the time. So it is important. Now, from success to prosperity. This is success in our economy. How shall we attain to it? Because it is known that the more money a Christian makes, the less will he give to his God. Because the amount increases. And so he is stingy. He will not give. That is why the widow's mites, just 2 10-cent pieces, Jesus stated the widow's mites are more than all the rich people, proportionately. If the rich people will give $2, and the poor widow will give 20 cents, there's so much more proportionately. And so it is given here, if you want to have success and prosperity, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and their presses shall burst out with new wine. You must remember one thing, and that is to honor the Lord. I think it's a good idea for us to keep our Bibles open and to turn to some of these passages that are very wonderful, that when we read them by eyesight, they remain much more in your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 to verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 to 19 exhorts like Proverbs 3, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Remember this. When you earn a good salary and you are in a good position, don't be so cocksure that everything is all right. If the Lord does not give you the power to earn it, suddenly you find, oh, I got cancer. Suddenly you find that you have got a serious sickness and you cannot go to office. But it is the Lord who gives you the strength, the power to get health, that he may establish his covenant, which is swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do not do at all forget the Lord, you turn to money as your God, and walk after other gods, yes, even pleasure, sinful pleasures, and waste them on yourself, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. So here it is. Honor the Lord with the substance. And forget not that it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. Therefore, you owe it to God. Now, the question of tithing. The tithe is 1/10 of your income. To start with, that belongs to God. But some people will say, well, that was a requirement of Moses' law. But not so. Moses requires it, and Jesus requires it. Let us turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 42. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. Not only chapter 11, verse 42, Matthew 23:23 has exactly the same words almost. And this is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. Mint is peppermint, and rue, and all kinds of herbs or vegetables, even minute, the wind to the last ounce. You require the people to bring this tithe, but then you pass over judgment and the love of God. There are greater things like mercy, and we don't require people to do everything, as it were. But make certain allowances. You ought this, the love of God, you ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. The tithing is being upheld by me, because Jesus did not come to destroy the law of Moses. Jesus came to fulfill the law of Moses. And he upheld every law of Moses, including himself when he was born 8 days old, came for the circumcision. He kept all the law of Moses to show that there is no contradiction between Old and New Testament. Do we tithe or not? If the whole church will tithe, it will be a powerful church. Can send many missionaries. But because many churches don't practice tithing, because they say we are in a New Testament, that is not true. The fact is that we do not stop at tithing. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to verse 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to verse 9. But this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. There is no limit. A person cannot be stopped. Don't give too much to God. If he wants to give all to God, that is all the more his blessing. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. The important thing is, what is the prompting that comes from the Holy Spirit to you? And it is a very high sum Well, give it. And don't let any other person discourage you. Let him give not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. If you give liberally to God and for His purposes, God loves you. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency, all things may abound to every good work. Giving is a Christian religion. It's really wonderful when the church is a giving church. All other associations, societies cannot compete with a church that loves a lot because we love. The church is never supported by rich people. The church is supported by those who love the Lord even though they are poor, like the widow. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Another area where we should not neglect to give those that are poor members around us, those we know they are worthy of being helped, we should readily. And Proverbs tells us that whatever you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and God will repay to you. That is marvelous. God is very faithful. You can never outgive God. Money is such a mighty affair, it seems, that it is a contention between husband and wife. If both husband and wife share the same fund and they act in unison without any dispute, that will be most wonderful. But if there are troubles, and especially in the matter of giving to God, and one overbears the other, it will be in difficulty. In such a case, I have myself as a pastor advised the separation of accounts. And we have seen how checks are written in by husbands and by wives, each according to his or her degree of love to the Lord. But here's one good example. The husband and wife have to be on a separate basis. God told Abraham one day that He would want Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only begotten son, to Him. When I was young, I always thought that Isaac must be a baby. That's easy. But if you read the account, Isaac had to travel with the father and two young men, and in the last lap before they ascended the hill, Moriah, the father unpacked the firewood that was brought apparently on the donkey, and he had to carry it up to the mountain. Then I found that he was at least 13 years old, and some said he was 25. If he is 25, he will overpower Abraham anytime. Instead of sacrificing Isaac, he may be sacrificing Abraham. But the wonderful thing was that there was also a very obedient son who carried the firewood up to the hill. And when Abraham took out the knife, had bound him on the altar, was about to strike, then the angel of the Lord appeared and told Abraham, "I'm so happy that you have obeyed me to the last." This is a directive will God sometimes, it is very hard to carry. But he loved his Savior. Therefore, I'm going to bless you that your children will be like the stars and the sand of the sea. And by your seed, naturally it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, will all the families of the world be blessed. Now the Lord has moved you to give $10,000 to the church building fund because you are very zealous. One good advice is, I think it's safer not to tell a wife, because this may be very unfair to the wives, because I'm a husband and I can make fun of them. But no, some wives are very supportive, and I can give a testimony to my wife that whatever I want to use with my money for God, she will not look across. It's up to you. I cannot do anything against God's will. And I myself have discovered that I can never outgive God. And He blesses me back, not only physically, but more importantly, spiritually. Happiness. Let me ask you, do you have a happy married life? Many couples, they go together outwardly, but inwardly, it's different. Happiness in serving God. And I don't mind telling you, I'm very happy here. All the past, we do not bring into focus. I'm so happy for so many new faces. I'm very happy to work on my sermons to the best of my ability for what we need today. You shall hear the word of God, not the word of man. Have you now found the recipe for success and prosperity in the new year? Seek in the Lord with all your might. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, which oftentimes run counter to our own ideas. Help us truly to seek Thy directive will, and You will bless us with Your cooperative will to bring us success and prosperity in the new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.